heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or the Christian Research Journal, go to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Speaking of the Christian Research Journal, just got a letter from Mike and Mary Lou, and they write, "Dear Hank, thank you so much for the recent article in the Christian Research Journal, Joel's Army Marches On. My husband and I, we pastor a small rural church in north central Washington State. Prior to coming to Washington State, we pastored a church in rural southwest Utah for 7.5 years. We were the only evangelical Christian church in the county. Most of our congregants were former Mormons, so we're very familiar with Mormon history, with their doctrine, with their culture. But here's the point. The similarities between Joel's Army and Mormonism are striking. Mike and Mary Lou go on to point out how they are so striking. In this letter, they write, both believe in modern-day prophets who receive new revelations from God. Both believe in the office of apostle for church functioning. Both believe in appearances and guidance from angels. Both discount biblical scholarship in favor of the experiential. Both put a human leader at the center of their teaching and believe in unquestioned obedience to that leader. And both resist and resent criticism of their movement or any attempt to shine biblical truth on their false beliefs. Christianity in Crisis 21st Century encapsulates this issue so well. We have given a copy to all of our elders and deacons. Thank you for continuing to tell the truth." Here's another partner standing with us in ministry, which, of course, is what we ask all of you to do that listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you love the Ring of Truth, we do what we do because truth matters. Stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Bible Answer Man fans, there are so many more ways now than ever before to interact with this broadcast. You can listen online, you can podcast, you can read my blog, you can access me through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of the new media. And soon you will have available video clips from the Bible Answer Man broadcast right there on the World Wide Web as well. So spread the word, post links to our website, articles from your Facebook page, and of course, the ubiquitous tweets. I never thought the day would come when I'd be tweeting, but I am. I did an article writing about how some of the great heroes of the faith would have tweeted in their last moments and what they could have said in a short period of time about some of the most significant challenges that they were facing in their lives and in their ensuing deaths. I want to share my challenges with you as well, some of my personal story and my tweets, some of the interactions I have with my great family. So all of that means I am today tweeting as well. If you can support this ministry, please let us know that you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Ivan, W-E-Z-E, Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Ivan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yes. My question to you is, Hank, how does a Christian really know that he or she is truly saved so that they won't have to question their salvation, if you will?
Well, what does it mean to be saved to begin with? It means that you realize that you're a sinner, It means that you have repented of your sin, which is that you are willing to make a U-turn on the road of life. And you say, I don't want to live by the dictates of my own will. I want to follow the Creator and do it His way. So you're turning from sin to the Savior, and you're saying, please be Lord and Savior of my life. So you're willing, that's the operative word, to make Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, Lord and Savior of your life. You realize you're a sinner, you repent of your sin, and you receive Him as Savior and Lord. If you've done that, you have the assurance based on the Word of God. Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has, not might have or could have, but has everlasting life, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal. So what I'm pointing out on the basis of Scripture is that this is not a feeling. This is a promise made by the Creator of all things, including the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, who says, if you believe, you have eternal life. So if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ, you have eternal life based on the promise of the very one who created all things, including you. Fair enough?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate your answer. That was good. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. I appreciate your call as well. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to TJ. He's listening on XM Radio, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi, TJ.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I had a question for you because I've just been studying various scriptures, and in James chapter 1:13, the scripture says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that and having an understanding of the scripture is actually one of my favorite chapters, and that I even memorized the whole chapter. I'm looking at the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, however we want to refer to it. And Jesus says, for us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, and me knowing that God never leads us into temptation. I understand that. Just trying to get an understanding why our Lord would have us pray that specifically.
Yeah, interesting construction. It's what's called a synonymous parallelism. So the first part says virtually the same as the second part. So when you say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the first part says virtually the same as the second part. That's why we call it a synonymous parallelism. Now, to be led into temptation is to be exposed to the onslaught of the evil one. And this temptation, of course, is not the kind of temptation which James is speaking about. God can't be tempted in the sense that he can't have an inner inclination towards evil. Satan can tempt him from without, but there's no inner response to the outward suggestion to sin. In fact, if there were, Jesus wouldn't be the sinless Savior. We, however, are tempted, and because we are riddled with sin, we have a sin nature, we're in the situation where we can definitely respond to evil. And that's why we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the very one who sits, as it were, on our shoulder and whispers into our ear. The whisper cannot be heard with a physical ear, but it does penetrate the ear of the mind. We can't precisely say how that kind of mind-to-mind communication takes place any more than we can explain how the mind can cause the physical synapses of the brain to fire. But that kind of temptation takes place is absolutely critical to understand. If this were not the case, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 would not tell you to put on the full armor of God so that you can resist the wiles or the temptation of the evil one.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir.
Hey, you got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Jim. He's listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on WFIL. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Hank, I just got a fundamental question to ask you. I put my dog down yesterday. He was 15 years old. And I was wondering, is there any scripture about animals going to heaven?
Well, think about this for just a second. What is heaven? Heaven is this universe recreated to what it would have been had sin not entered the world. Now, if you think about Paradise Lost, there are trees, and there are rivers, and there are rocks, and there are dogs. There are animals in Paradise Lost. So why would we have a prejudice that would in some way suggest that in Paradise Restored, we would not have some of God's most significant creations, animals? Of course they're going to be animals in heaven. Now, can we say beyond the shadow of a doubt on the basis of Scripture that petted pets or the animals that we loved will be resurrected? I don't think we can absolutely categorically make that case on the basis of Scripture, but there's nothing in Scripture that precludes it. And I, for one, tend to believe with people like Johnny Erickson Tata and Peter Kreft and other great Christian leaders that we will see our pets in heaven. Again, I can't shout that because the Bible doesn't, but I have a sense that that is going to be the case.
Great, Hank. Thank you so much. You make me feel better already.
Well, I want to tell you the truth, whatever it is, but I'm glad it makes you feel better. And by the way, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition for your gift of $100 or more. Oh, you do?
I got both of them.
Well, you can find the answer to that question in that book as well as the book Resurrection.
Great. Thanks, Hank. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, you got it. And for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'd love to send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Again, it's a way of supporting the ministry so we can continue to minister to 177 countries. In other words, people from 177 countries are interacting with this ministry, and oftentimes because someone is praying or someone is supporting this ministry in a visible, tangible way. If you could be one of those people, I would deeply appreciate it. You can support this ministry by giving on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You could also give at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go to Gary. He's listening on KKLA in Reseda, California. Hi, Gary.
Hello there. It's nice to talk with you finally, Mr. Hanegraaff. I really appreciate your show. I have listened from time to time over the years. Whenever I do listen to you, I'm always very, very pleased. And the amount of information you provide for everyone is just extensive. And I do appreciate your presence with all of us here.
Thank you.
And the question I had, going back about a month or so, maybe a few weeks ago or so, you had made a comment. This was about people idolatrizing the Shroud of Turin. Now, the only reason I'm asking it this is I was in Turin, Italy. I am not Roman Catholic. I'm evangelical. In fact, I was saved at the Billy Graham Crusade in 1963. I was 15 years old, and I ran forward and shook like a leaf from head to toe.
Oh,
but,
wow.
I went to Turin, Italy. It was a great privilege for me to be there. I, in fact, happened to know all of the scientists. Some have passed away, regrettably, because they were fine men, and all of them had done some great work. Ray Rogers is just really missed now. Of course, all of them have been. Dr. Robert Buckland and all of these men I had talked to from time to time over the years. But Ray Rogers had written a paper on the chemistry of the body image, which is just fascinating. I think a lot of people are unaware that the Shroud has not really been validated by the carbon dating. In fact, it was an invalid carbon dating. You may have heard that. I believe that National Geographic published to their readers in newsletters, or a newsletter, that that was an invalidated finding. It turned out that there is a French weave or some kind of interweaving on the backside from which they had drawn material. This was after the fire of 1532. From that material, that carbon dating was taken, and really not from the shroud itself. So it does deserve another try.
Yeah, hey, Gary, I don't want to short-circuit you here because it's a fascinating information. We're talking about the Shroud of Turin. I won't let you continue on the other side of the break. If you would, hang on with me for just a few moments. We're going to a station break. We're up against a heartbreak. Have no choice. So stick with me, Gary. I want to talk some more about the Shroud of Turin on the other side of the break. Get your perspective. Give you mine. And, of course, take the people who are calling in from all around the country. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig, nationally simulcast teen apologetics conference on Saturday, August 8th, to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. Hank returns with more of the broadcast right after this. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order the compelling The Case for Faith DVD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity. Even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers people are looking for, because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hi, this is Chuck Colson of Breakpoint. I'm delighted to join Hank Hanegraaff's many friends in saluting him on all these years that he has so successfully defended the faith on the radio. The Bible Answer Man is one of the most stimulating, exciting programs on Christian radio. I love to be on it because Hank is such a great interviewer, and it's always provocative, and it always comes down on exactly the orthodox Christian position on issues. I think it provides a great service. I hope all of folks who are listening will continue to support Hank in prayer and in contributions. Keep the Bible Answer Man in business, because it is defending truth in an age which has disregarded truth. God bless you, Hank.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Every time I hear Chuck Colson's voice, I'm reminded that he was once the second most powerful man in the free world, and then he was radically transformed by Jesus Christ, and he has been a Christian statesman who is such an example to us and has used his life impacting the lives of so many people for time and for eternity. I will always be grateful for his friendship. I want to go back to Gary. He's calling from Reseda, California. And Gary, fascinating insights that you're providing to us on the Shroud of Turin.
Oh, well, thank you. I've done a lot of writing I've never published, but and mainly because Eric Jumper, Dr. Jumper, who is, I believe, a professor at Notre Dame, he had instructed me in the early years, probably 1981 or two, that I should not be an advocate that there was ever reason to believe that it would not carbon date accurately, you know. And at that time, there had been some critical questions that had been raised from someone on the outside, and I think it had to do with that individual who created so much controversy. And I won't say his name because I don't think I should, but he was an individual that he had basically said that it was a image that was created by pigment. And all of the scientists completely repudiated that, said that the body image was not comprised of any chemical that would be used in paint, that there was presence of iron oxide, which, of course, would be explained by the fact that it had been in painters' studios through the centuries and had picked up that those pigments, but certainly it did not constitute body image. But now, Ray Rogers said that there is a chemistry that went on, and basically what had happened was that amines from the body began to exude from his body at a certain point, maybe right after he was buried, and it continued to move in a sort of cycle, and it probably went into a declining stage on the curve, but it interacted with chemical that had been used from the soapwork plant to smooth out the fibers on the threads, and in that interaction, the image was created. What's fascinating is that the body image remains, and the only reason it does remain is the body wasn't there to continue to decompose. That was the beginning. It wasn't decomposition itself, but it was like the front guard or advance guard of the stages that would have culminated in decay. Of course, Psalm 16:10 said that that would not be so, and the shroud really confirms that. In fact, that the body may have been absent because of resurrection could explain why we have those images, and it was not just a black spot on the linen sheet. And of course, we have blood which saturates from top to bottom of the sheet. and then those images which follow. And the wound images are in perfect correlation with the blood flow from the body. So it's something that a person in the Middle Ages just could not do. It's just a marvel to see. But my interest in this was to find typological support from the Old Testament that would show that there is a reason for us to believe that there is something important here for the church today, indeed for the world, the nations, and for Israel.
Well, and certainly the Shroud of Turin could be authentic, but at the end of the day, we don't have to base our faith on it. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a cumulative case that we can make to demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. A lot of people do not think it's authentic. There are some great Christian leaders. Gary Habermas comes to mind, who's written a book on this subject. Yourself. It's an interesting debate, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad you called because I want to look into this further.
Oh, that'd be great. I hope that you do because you're a man who should, and because everyone is listening to you, and I think that you would maybe, who knows, write a book on this subject. And if you would ever like me to give you some stuff that I have had, I would sure be glad to share it with you.
Well, I appreciate your articulate description. I know everybody's benefited from it, and thank you so much.
You're
for calling me today.
Thank you for listening to.
You got it, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Frank. He's listening at WMCA, New York, New York. Hi, Frank.
Do you hear me, Hank?
Yeah, absolutely. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you? I support you prayerfully and financially.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay. I do witness to the Jehovah Witnesses. That is my passion. And in Scripture, I want to take us to Genesis 19:24.
Yeah.
And I usually discuss this with them. Now, here, we're showing two Jehovahs, Jehovah and Jehovah in disguise. If you want to go over that, Genesis 19:24.
Yeah.
Now, are we referring here to Jehovah, the Word on the earth, and Jehovah the Father in the sky?
Yeah, just so everybody knows what we're talking about, this is the story of Lot reaching Zoar, and the sun had risen over the land, and then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And in that 24th verse, you have the Lord repeated twice. And this is very typical of Hebrew reiteration, but this is specifically talking about Jehovah. Yes, it is talking about God.
So are these two persons?
No. I don't think, as I say, this is Hebrew reiteration. This is saying God rained sulfur out of heaven from God. It's a reiteration for the purposes of emphasis.
Okay. Because I was taking it as if Jehovah, the Word, received fire and brimstone from Jehovah the Father from the heavens.
No, I don't think you can make that case from the text, but as a person that witnessed so passionately to Jehovah's Witnesses, you probably know better than most how many texts you can use to make that point.
Yes, I have studied Ron Rhodes' book.
Great book.
Scriptures, yes.
Yes.
And I'm going to continue to do so.
Well, Frank, thank you for being an example to us, too, as you witness to the witnesses. Sometimes it's hard work because when you're witnessing, as you well know, the witnesses want to tell you that Jesus Christ was not the creator of all things, but God created Jesus and he became a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And they prostitute, quite frankly, Colossians chapter 1. They add the word other four times to take away the power of the text, which says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God and that he is before all things, not before all other things. He is the creator of all things, and in him all things hold together. So I think one of the great things to do is to demonstrate to the Jehovah's Witnesses who sometimes don't seem to be listening, that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's not the Archangel Michael. He wasn't a mere human being during his earthly sojourn, and you can do that even from their New World Translation. But bless you for caring, because we have seen over the years so many people come out of the watchtower, and some of those people, when we first started witnessing to them, we thought no possible way they would ever become believers. Sometimes I would see them when I spoke, and they would challenge me in public. And then later on, I'd go back to the same church and find a Jehovah's Witness who had once challenged me, now teaching other Christians how to witness to the witnesses. So in many cases, it's hard work, as I said. But you sow the seed, and someone else comes by and waters the seed, and God gives the increase. But again, my gratitude for the way you're using your life to reach people for time and for eternity.
Well, I'll continue to do so, Hank. Thanks a lot, and God bless you.
God bless you. I want to go right back to the phone lines. Tony, listening on XM Radio, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I'm pulling the semi over here so I can talk to you, so it won't be quite so loud.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, I've got a couple questions for you. I just got married here about a year and three quarters ago. Since that time, the question I have is about divorce.
Yeah.
Since that time, we've had a child. My wife's left. I have the child. But how does it work for divorce in that? I don't want a divorce. My pastor at church told me that I had to divorce her because she's left, went and moved in with somebody, got pregnant by them. Now she's living with her ex-husband. And how does all that work?
Yeah, you know, oftentimes when you get into that kind of situation, Tony, you can't unscramble the egg. When someone leaves, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the believer is not bound in that situation. If someone believes and gets involved in a relationship with someone else, has a child by that person, then gets involved with someone else in turn, leaves or deserts you, you're not bound in that situation. But the greater good in marriage is always in trying to find reconciliation. It's hard, it's painful. But you mentioned you have a child.
Yeah, I really don't want a divorce. I really, you know, in my heart, I know it's wrong. But it's just, if she doesn't, she can't, I don't know what to do.
Well, if she marries this man that she's living with now.
Well, she left the guy that she's pregnant with, and she's back with her ex-husband.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say, and she told me she's not happy there, but it's just, I don't know what to say a whole lot.
Yeah. It's a difficult situation. It's going to be gut-wrenching to say the least. If she deserts you through both desertion and adultery, I mean, you do have biblical grounds for divorce, but this is something that I don't want you to make a decision on because you heard an electronic voice. No matter how much you trust this broadcast or me, I think this requires a pastor that loves you, that knows the situation. Yeah, you really need to invest some time in that situation. Someone that loves you, cares for you, on the scene, that can help you through this circumstance. I feel absolutely heartbroken that I have to leave you at this point. I appreciate you listening to the broadcast, pulling over in your rig and asking me the question. Let's see what we can do off air for you as well. Appreciate your call, Tony. We are coming up to station break. Do remember, if you're listening to this broadcast somewhere in the United States, Canada, or 177 other countries in which this broadcast is being heard, please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you, this broadcast would not be an ongoing reality. We need your support today more than ever. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, do it today. We'll be right back.
Truth is under siege. Hank Hanegraaff has captured the spirit of Truth Under Siege in a new audio CD remembering the lives of the great Christian reformers, lives of men like John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Martin Luther, as well as the biblical prophet Jeremiah, who each exemplified the transforming power of a testimony tried by fire. In Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, he reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of the precious Redeemer. Be inspired to stand for truth and make a difference when you hear Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, delivered in Los Angeles, California earlier this year. Order your copy on audio CD for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to our secure website anytime at www.equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org, and once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And now let's return to our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, thank you, Randy, and we'll return to our callers as well. Go right back to the phone lines. Dr. Glenn, he's listening at WMCA, New York, New York. Hi, Glenn.
Good evening, Hank. How are you?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
Good. My question comes from Proverbs 18 and verse 21, which says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I would just like to get your take on that particular scripture.
Yeah, Glenn, I've said many times that the second most powerful thing, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, by the way, the second most powerful thing in the world is a loaded .45 revolver. The first is the human tongue. People can leave an indelible scar or mark on your psyche with their tongues, using the words that deeply penetrate and hurt another person. There are people who read that passage and say, well, that's a validation for the notion that words can create reality. But of course, nothing is further from the truth. Words can't create reality, but they can scar people. And in this historical context, by the way, we have Solomon writing the words, and he is the potentate of the Solomonic kingdom that reaches from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. And he had power over people. He would pronounce a sentence, and that sentence would be, if it were a death sentence, lethal. If he pronounced a sentence of life and adjudicated someone in such a way that they were free, that would happen as well. So Solomon had great power, and he recognized the power of his words to set a person free or to enslave a person, or even to give a person the death sentence, which would quickly carried out under his rule. But I think the broader context, the meaning of the passage, is simply that words can deeply wound people. It has nothing to do with whether or not they can create reality. Obviously, the only one that can create reality is God.
Okay. So, but if words can create, bad things for people by speaking into people's lives, can we create bad things for ourselves by negative speaking and by the use of our own words?
Yes, absolutely. We can, when we say things that are negative, we can create a very bad environment, a very bad disposition in our own hearts and minds when we dwell on those things that are impure, when we watch the wrong things. Absolutely. But, you know, in Word of Faith circles, and I've written a book about this called Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, there's this notion that faith is a force and words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. And you even have people like Joel Osteen say things like, the Bible says that what you say has power, that we are to call those things that are not as though they were, and oftentimes use not only that, but this, the text you point to, as a pretext for that notion. But if you go to the Bible and actually read what the Bible says quite the opposite. It says it is God who calls those things that are not as though they were, not we, but God. And so what happens oftentimes is the faith teachers will take a text out of its intended context and use it as a pretext for this notion that we can create reality with our words. And that, of course, is a metaphysical concept that comes out of New Thought metaphysics, which is an occult brand of metaphysics which has no place in Christian theology.
Right. Hank, I've been listening to you for a while, and my concern about your teaching is that the supernatural is kind of taken out of, away from, the way we view God, and he becomes just very natural. And I do believe that is one attribute of God that hasn't changed, is that he is a supernatural God and does still operate, I believe.
Not only that, but you can't take the supernatural out of the equation. As Christians, we believe that when we encounter things in our life, there are both natural and supernatural explanations. So we have a truly open mind, and we do believe in the supernatural. I mean, the very universe itself begs for a supernatural creator. It's an effect that requires a cause that's greater than itself. So as a Christian, I believe in the supernatural, and I certainly believe that God can do all things. God can raise the dead, and there's ample evidence for that in Scripture. But we shouldn't make up stories about God doing things that he didn't do. That's blasphemous. Nor should we take his words out of context and take for ourselves a prerogative that is God's alone. Nor should we try to take New Thought Metaphysics, a construct that's been popularized in recent days by Rhonda Byrne in The Secret, and repackage it in Christian terminology and then pawn it off on gullible Christians, because when we do, we create disaster in their lives. And I can think of no better example than a man who called me from Texas, and in a Word of Faith church, his mother was taught to speak the words of life. She was taught to deny a symptom, a lump in her breast, as a lying ploy of the devil. And through her words, she could have perfect health and wealth. And she employed the system. The lump became a weeping sore, and she ends up dying. Ideas have consequences. And so we cannot say that in this world we can have perfect health because of the words we use. We can create that reality. That's not Christian theology. Christian theology is in this world you're going to have death and mourning and crying and pain. And those things will be with us until the new order of things is established. And that is when Jesus Christ returns. And then the text tells us he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will then be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Benny Hinn, the premier faith teacher for years in our culture, told me one day at dinner that he had experienced thousands and thousands of bona fide healings. And I told him over a cup of soup, send me your three best. He did. It took a little cajoling, but he finally sent me his three best bona fide miracles. In Christianity Crisis 21st Century, you can see that I researched all three. Now, these weren't three that I chose. These were three that he chose, his best examples. All three of them turn out to be bogus. Does it mean God can't heal? No. It's just that if God were healing in a normative fashion, we wouldn't even be calling these things miracles. And you look at Word of Faith teachers today, or you know, the new breed of prophet like Rick Joyner, making all these outlandish claims that pretty soon even little kids will touch hospital buildings and all the dead will rise and everyone that's sick will be healed. This is fantasy land. As long as we live in this world, we are going to suffer death and disease and destruction and decay, because that's part of the old order of things. We look above to a new order of things. We await what we don't yet have. We wait for it patiently. In fact, according to Romans 8, even the earth itself is groaning in travail, awaiting its liberation from decay, from bondage to death. That's not something we know about now. That's something we'll experience then. Again, I've written about this, Christianity Crisis 21st Century. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carol, WNIV, Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, too, and I listen to your program just about every day, and I have a question. God, is it true that God cannot be in the presence of evil? Because I was thinking Job chapter 1 and verse 6 when Satan comes to him, and I was wondering how that could be.
Yeah, well, remember the biblical truth that everything is immediately in the presence of God.
Okay.
That includes Satan and his minions. So when we say God is omnipresent, we're not saying that God is equally distributed throughout the universe. It means that everything is immediately in the presence of God. Now, with respect to Satan, that would include Satan.
Right.
Everything is immediately in the presence of God, according to Christian theology.
So it doesn't matter, like, well, if it's evil, it's still.
No, and when the Bible says God's eyes are too pure to look on evil, he cannot tolerate wrong, like in Habakkuk 1:13, it means that God cannot abide or tolerate evil. It doesn't mean that God cannot see the evil that is done. He sees everything that we do. And everything that we do in this life is written as an account, as it were, and we'll give an account for what we do in this life, whether good or bad.
Okay, that really helps a lot, Hank.
Hey, Carol, thank you so much for your call. I want to close out the broadcast today by saying that this is a ministry supported by listeners around the country, and we've had the unfortunate reality hit home where there are people that used to listen to this broadcast that can no longer get this broadcast on their radio station. Of course, there are hundreds of thousands of people around the country, indeed around the world, that aren't affected. But for those of you that have been affected, remember, you can always listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, live streaming on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And if you're listening to my voice, and you know someone that used to listen to my voice but can't get it anymore and don't know exactly how to access the broadcast, let them know that 24/7 they can not only listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast in terms of live streaming, but archived on the web at equip.org. And there you can not only hear me answer questions, you can see me answer questions live at equip.org. And tell your friends about it. Make the blogs go viral. Take the social media that we have today and use it for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. In the meantime, stand with us prayerfully and financially, won't you? We need your support. Without you, this ministry would not be circling the globe. So write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can access us on the web. As always, just mention the website, but write it down if you don't have it, equip.org. So many resources garnered over 50 years available on the web, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Again, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
The Christian Research Institute offers numerous ways to get the answers you seek to tough questions about Christianity, cults, the occult, essential Christian doctrine, and more.
This is the time that we need this organization to be not just proclaiming the truth, but doing the research and getting us the answer. Sometimes heretical writings come out and the average Christian reads them and says, you know, I know that isn't right, but I need some help into understanding why it isn't right. I need someone to do some research. Well, that's what the Christian Research Journal does. That's what Hank does and others on the show.
As Lee Strobel just said, the value of the Christian Research Institute is in the combined resources of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, primary source research, and the Christian Research Journal. One key way to support the work of this ministry and at the same time receive the answers you seek is to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe today online at www.equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.